Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This is a Joy 94.9 podcast presented by Paul Anthony with the assistance of the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers, Victoria Police, Crime Stoppers and Joy 94.9 working together to make our community safe.
Joy 94.9, when only the best will do.
Joy 94.9, Paul Anthony with you. It's the outside broadcast inside the Victoria Police Media Centre. You are on the conch, and in the studio with me is Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer Scott Davis.
Oh, we can take a bit of a deep breath after that last interview. That was fantastic, wasn't it?
Let's quickly go to our computer screen. What have you got there?
We've got a message in from Tristan, and Tristan says that he's listening to us and loves the show, and whilst he's mowing the lawn and he's about to bottle his beer, he says.
How can he hear us when he's mowing the lawn? Quiet lawnmower, perhaps?
With headphones on, I would imagine. It cuts out all the noise of the lawnmower.
If you'd like to say hello, it's 0427JOY949 or onair@joy.org.au. Right now, though, our next guest has been with Victoria Police for 40 years, longer than I've been alive, and is currently working at the Youth Affairs Office. He's here representing the Safer Communities Unit, which he has previously worked. Please welcome Senior Sergeant Tim Hardiman.
Good morning, Paul.
Welcome. Now, that wasn't a shot to say that you were old. That was a shot to say that I was young and that you've been doing all this while I haven't even been alive.
Not that I want to make any threats, Paul, but just remember where you are and that to get out of here, you have to go through a whole lot of electronic security.
I think that that's a big feat. 40 years.
It is.
That's amazing.
Well, it makes a big difference if you go straight from school, which I did. So I've caught up on a few people even before they've thought about their first job.
Community Safety Month, what is it and when did it start in Victoria?
Well, Community Safety Month started back in 1996, and it was started by the Victorian Safe Communities Network, which had been around for a number of years. It started as a Safety Sunday, one day. It grew from one day to a week, then to a month, which we have in October now. It's also gone national, and today actually is the International Safety Day.
Wow.
So through the partnership with the World Health Organization, we've been able to promote community safety throughout the world.
Most likely a rhetorical question, but why do we have Community Safety Month?
Well, I've got a few figures here from the Monash University. During the year of 2007 to 2009, we had over 500,000 emergency department presentations, and 44,000 cases were due to road traffic accidents, including buses, cars, cyclists, pedestrians. But of all the injury causes, 48% of those were among young people aged 24 or younger. So here at Victoria Police, we're very conscious about building a safe community, and with our young people, that's where we can start.
What sort of events are conducted throughout the safety month?
All sorts of events throughout the community. It's run by the local government or community group, or it could be by the police, the fire brigade, emergency services group within the local communities. But there's safety tips for parents, there's safety tips about migrants who are newly arrived and don't understand the various simple systems of lighting a gas stove and remembering to turn it off.
Because that's really important, that Community Safety Month is much more about than just police.
Absolutely.
That it's a whole... So, you know, we could be talking things about boat safety or swimming, you know, all that sort of stuff. It's not just a police issue.
Well, Scott, it wasn't until we started sitting down what sort of questions we were going to ask all our guests that we started realising that safety could have been just even, you know, like walking across the road or going out to check your letterbox out at night.
That's right. Even within the workplace, safety is a really important issue, and that's not the realm of police.
Many events throughout Community Safety Month. What are some of the major events?
Well, today, of course, we've got the launch down at Federation Square, which is occurring as we speak. One of the other major events is down at Docklands on the 25th of this month, and that's a family day for the emergency services and general safety within the community.
And we've actually got Ben Taylor, who's a sergeant with Melbourne West, coming on a little bit later on to talk about all of that day.
Oh,
so we'll get some good information out about that.
And there's a nice Indian festival known as the Festival of Lights operating out at Footscray on the 3rd of October. And we've even got the police band over an informal light lunch at Wyndham City Council on the 5th of November. So the event's really, even though it's promoted during October, it doesn't have to occur in October. We'd like to see community safety emphasised and run in the community throughout the whole year.
Yes, let's not just be safe during October.
That's right. And of course, Paul, one of the other big events for the GLBTI communities is the fact that Joy is here today. We've got a four-hour outside broadcast, and then we've got a number of events over the month taking place, which we'll talk a little bit about later on, but certainly next Tuesday is the next event. During Gen Next, we're going to be doing some Community Safety Month activities around issues for same-sex attracted young people.
Tim, the organisations that are involved, there'd be heaps of them. What are some of the organisations?
Some of the members on the board of the Victorian Safe Communities Network are the Department of Justice, the local government representatives, safety officers and community officers, Sports Medicine Australia, the MFB, Vic Roads, WorkSafe, Royal Children's Hospital, which actually supports the organisation and the running of Community Safety Month through the Secretariat area, and also Consumer Affairs.
Fantastic. If there was one message you could give to the community, what would it be?
Think about what you're doing. Accidents are not accidents. They happen because people don't think about what they're doing.
Senior Sergeant Tim Hardiman, thanks for joining us here on Joy. Scotty, we'll continue on with our president who has now joined us. He's been with Joy for about 10 years, often on the board for about 10 years as well. He joins us in the Media Centre, Stephen Duns.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, Scott.
Welcome to the Police Media Centre, Stephen.
Thank you very much. I sort of feel as though I might have to be arrested to get here.
But it's not that tight of security to get in.
That's right.
There was no x-rays or body searches or anything like that.
No, that's true. It's better than going to Department of Justice.
DHS is much worse.
Yeah. That's true.
That's the worst one to get into.
Now, Stephen, I want you to have a look at this room because I reckon we could build one of these at Joy, don't you think?
Absolutely. We should have. Joy should be a media centre, shouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Right.
Well, I'll be checking everyone's pockets as you go because you won't be using any of our materials to build your media centre.
Stephen, let's have a quick look. The board currently put out a survey to the members of Joy. We haven't got all the results back, but you just want to sort of comment on what you can sort of see at the moment?
Yeah, well, particularly relevant to Community Safety Month is that 50% of several hundred people responded, said that they had experienced bullying as a result of their sexuality, and over 70 said that they'd experienced homophobia. So that's very...
Over 70%, is that?
70% of respondents, So, it's a big issue, and it's a big issue today, still.
It'd be interesting to know what sort of behaviour that centred around. Was there any indication in the survey?
There is. We haven't actually. We only just got the close of the survey last week, and we're just doing that analysis now. But we've only got headline results for now. But it's interesting, it hits in a funny way. One of our admin people at work, her boyfriend went to a football 70s night, and after that went off to the pub. And because he was dressed in the sort of 70s, sort of slightly different clothes, someone said, "What are you doing, you stupid poofter?" and bashed him. So it happens all over the place. It's happening now. So here, there was an example of someone who wasn't even, someone just assumed that they were gay.
Certainly from our perspective, from a policing perspective, when we look at our statistics around reported homophobic assaults, there are instances where it's quite clear that there's an assumption made about the person's sexual orientation and bystanders are being injured. Now, not to say that, whether they're gay or straight is significant in it at all, but there's some horrible, horrible acts that people are committing purely because they don't like the look of someone or they're assuming their sexual orientation, which is an absolute disgrace. We're in the 2000s now, people. It's time to get over it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's fabulous for us to be here as part of this whole month, and it's an important month. We all know that the sense of safety and community safety is one of the key determinants of health and well-being for anyone in society.
That's right.
Absolutely crucial, and so it's very exciting to be part of this, and I'm very proud that Joy is such a big part of this whole event.
It's great having a radio station where you can talk to people because over the whole month, Generation Next, Tuesday, October 6th, we're going to be talking about young people, bullying at school, cyberspace, how to party safe and where to go and seek help. In the week three, on September, October 17th, we'll be talking about homophobic crime, personal safety on the street, neighbours who harass you because you're gay, from low-level homophobic violence crimes to really sort of high-level, and that'll be on SatMag. And then on the week four, we're going to be talking about sexual assault, and it's going to be at Beats, sex on premise venues, picking up online, the safety of that, nightclubs, drink spiking, and then it'll be with Hide and Seek with Dean Beck and James. And then continuing on Thursday, October 29, we'll be talking about same-sex partner abuse, where to seek help, because that's the big issue. A lot of people are in same-sex relationships, don't think they can go and seek help. and threats by people who are going to out you, or your partner outing you as well. And they're going to be talking about that on Hear Me Roar, which will be with Sue Wilkinson and the crew. That's a huge setup there.
That's fabulous, and it's fabulous that we're doing our bit for Community Safety Month.
It's really important that people are really engaging with this, and we'd really like to hear what people are thinking about Community Safety Month, and this probably gives us an opportunity to get people involved. So if you've got a magic wand and you could wave your magic wand, what would be the first thing that you would change in the community to make our community safe? And let us know. Wave the magic wand. What's the first thing that you're going to be solving for community safety?
Putting you on the spot, President.
What would it be? It would be to stop bullying at school.
Yeah, I think that's probably high on many people's lists. Mm.
Stephen Dunn's President of Joy. Thank you for joining us here at the Outside Broadcast inside the Media Centre.
Thank you, Paul and Scott, for such a lovely welcome.
Thanks, Stephen.
We're streaming along. We do have Greg Adkins from the Anti-Violence Project and Gabby Tayak, our Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer. Our next guest for Community Safety Month is leading Senior Constable Craig McDonald. Welcome to Joy 94.9.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good to be here.
You're the Crime Prevention Officer within Victoria Police. Tell us a little bit about your role.
I'm the Crime Prevention Officer for Region 2 Division 1, and for people who don't understand that area, I cover the whole western suburbs, basically from the Westgate Bridge right through to Melton. It's 5 council boundaries. It's huge. It's one of the busiest areas in Melbourne.
My trade is a gardener, and one of the things that we would learn being a gardener is that when it comes to diseases in plants, was that cure was always better than disease, or then...
Prevention.
You're saying prevention is better than the cure.
Prevention was always better than cure. So you're a crime prevention officer, so you're trying to stop the crime from happening before it happens.
That's right. But also, we deal with all the councils, like I said before, 5 different boundaries and 5 council areas. They have safety officers. We work with them. What we do is strategically analyse the crime stats and see where things are happening, and then we see what we can do, come up with strategies, how we can tackle these problems and work on that. And if we can prevent something happening, well, in the future, it's just going to be better off.
So with stats then, Craig, you need to have a really accurate reflection on what's happening out there, don't you?
Yes, definitely.
And where they fall short, is there a risk in maybe putting resources to something that's actually not really important, or maybe important, but not as much as important as what's really happening out there?
It is that, but that's why we encourage people to report everything into 000, things that they might not think are as important as they think, but that we know where things are happening. We need to know as police. We can't have a crystal ball or a magic wand, as you said before, and okay, there's a problem over here. We need to know it. And people report that to us, and we know what's going on. And then we can look at those areas.
Now, I was down in South Yarra last night with one of the Joy young broadcasters doing some Vox Pops, and we actually stumbled across someone that was unscrewing some number plates down there in South Yarra. What can people do to protect that? Because we often see cars where one number plate has been removed and someone stole a number plate. What can be done around number plates?
It's funny you get onto that, because Operation Safe Plate is a huge part of Community Safety Month.
Oh, right. What's Operation Safe Plate?
Well, I actually started Operation Safe Plate in the western suburbs in Altona or Altona Meadows probably about 5 years ago now. Some things don't have to be rocket science to fix things up, but it was a simple strategy of putting one-way tamper-proof resistant screws on car number plates just to stop it from being easily removed. So that was the idea. How simple is that? They're quite cheap. Let's try this and see if it works. The stats were fairly high with theft from motor vehicles, and those number plates are going missing. And if you go to a shopping centre, there's thousands of cars. They're everywhere. And most of those plates are held on by Phillips head screws.
Yep.
Now, a lot of people will just drive home. You won't check your number plates when you leave. You'll get home and maybe 2 days later someone will say, you think your front number plate's missing. You go, oh, I didn't even realise. So that's what generally happens.
Well, what are they doing with these stolen number plates? What's happening with the stolen number plates? Is there a number plate heaven? What's happening with the number plates?
Well, generally what happens is the offenders just walk through and say, okay, I need some plates because I might want to do some other things, commit further offences. So I'll just take plates left, right and centre, here and there, have a collection of these plates and rotate them.
So that could be the drive-offs from petrol stations where they've filled up a tank, whack someone else's plates on
exactly,
the car.
Exactly. Yeah. And we want to stop that. And it's just such a simple way of doing it, by putting tamper-proof screws on.
Craig, as we're trying to get smarter and stop the crims from creating crimes, they're getting smarter as well. What have you put in place? Because you start putting these screws in plates, then they start thinking of other ideas. You start taking things out of your car so people can't see things, then they start thinking of other ideas. Have you got a sort of a combat for that?
Well, I wish we knew what they were thinking. We've got to be one step ahead all the time. But generally, with things like we were saying with these number plate screws, it works. This is working now. So they've got to come up with some way of trying to beat that. But at the moment, I think we're on the money at the moment.
Craig, often a person who's thinking of committing an offence is often a crime of opportunity. But if they were going to a car park at a shopping centre and they were walking through the car park checking out cars, if they wanted to steal the number plates, they would go past the cars that have those screws on it because they can't take them off, and they'd go to a car that had the old Phillips head screws attaching the number plates.
That's
right. So what you're doing is you're preventing crime, or at least the cars that have those screws, they're pretty safe from having their number plates taken because the person will just go to the next car, the easiest car, to take that number plate
That's
from.
Exactly right. And we know that when we started the operation that we cannot physically secure the number plates of every vehicle in Victoria. It's impossible. There's too many. So by doing this, we've brought it to the attention of the general public and saying, look, if this is a problem, this is a big problem. We know that, so let's do something about it. How about you go out to a local hardware store, because they sell them now in little blister packs, and you can do it yourself. And by making a lot of interest in this, and people are interested in it, because when we run these days, they turn up in their droves, then they'll tell their friends, and more friends tell about that, and it spreads, and hopefully we can secure the whole number plates of every car in Victoria, and we've won.
You could call up all the mechanics too, because people have to get their car serviced as well, don't they? So you could supply them with them.
We've told all the car yards, they know about it as well. It's a simple way of spreading, hopefully, a good thing.
Besides Operation Safe Plates, what other events do you have?
Since I'm in the Western Suburbs, I said the five areas, it's huge. I've got a lot of activities going on. Tim Hardiman actually mentioned the Diwali Festival, which is on the 3rd, and that's going to be a huge festival at Witten Oval in Footscray. We've got community safety days at Water Gardens.
Yeah, great. Now, where's Water Gardens for those of us that come from a different part of Melbourne?
Keilor Way. Water Gardens is out near Taylor's Lakes Shopping Centre. It's a major shopping centre out there. They're having, we call them, I was going to say screwing days, Operation Safe Plate. It's got a nickname, yeah. And so we've got, there's a number plates securing day out there as well on Saturday, actually. And we've got the Point Cook Street Party. We've got lots of stuff happening. So much, I don't think I've got enough time to talk about, really.
Now, Paul and Gabby, it's worth noting that people that are going to be lifting other people's number plates off their cars don't just walk up to a car and take it off. They case the cars, as Gabby mentioned. Mm. But they actually go from car to car, checking out each car. If someone happens to notice when they're down at Water Garden Shopping Centre or even at Pran or anywhere around this great state, if they notice people going from car to car and looking very suspicious, what should they do?
Try and take note of what the person looks like. Descriptions are really important for us. A lot of these people wear the same clothes day in, day out, all the time. So a good description is what we're after. If they haven't got a mobile phone or something, go straight to the security, say the shopping centre security, and say, look, this guy's out there doing it, because chances are they're doing it all the time. If they get away with it and don't get reported, they're going to keep coming back if they get away with it. So 000, good description, suspect loiter in the car park, and then the boys will get onto it.
Fantastic. And they're not only stealing number plates, they're also stealing property from cars. Now, what can people do to prevent that?
Well, if you know you're going shopping, and you're going to the shopping centre for a reason, you should put all your valuables in the boot, lock them in the boot, so no one, don't stand there so people can see you putting your laptop in the boot. You should think, I'm going to the shopping centre, maybe I should just stop, put all my valuables in the boot, and just take what you need with you. So when people look in the window, they see nothing. Nothing. We don't want to see wallets and change lying around everywhere, or iPods. It's just too much temptation.
Before I let you go, Craig, in the UK, they're really big on surveillance. There are people watching certain areas, and if someone drops something or breaks something, the big speaker comes out and they say, hey, don't do that, and then the person gets embarrassed and they fix it. Can you see that happening here?
I can see the surveillance has increased hugely, and I know for a fact at High Point Shopping Centre, the cameras there have prevented so much since they went up. We can cover the whole area, but we haven't got speakers saying pick up that rubbish. That would be something.
There's a partnership, though. That's where local government are partnering with the cameras and making sure that the police get the information, so every council should be involved.
Do you have a stat? I don't know whether you do, but do you have an amount of how much it's costing to do crime prevention? Would you have any idea?
No, it's pretty hard to measure, and it's even hard to measure the outcomes. But
hundreds and thousands, millions? What I'm trying to get at, as much as it does cost, we're obviously saving a lot as well.
We're definitely saving. Every dollar we put into it, we're saving many after that.
Leading Senior Constable Craig McDonald, thank you so much for joining us down here at the Police Media Centre and joining us for Community Safety Month.
Thanks, Paul.
You are Enjoy 94.9. Paul Anthony with you down live at the Victoria Police Centre with Scotty Davis, gay and lesbian liaison officer.
Hello, Paul. I'm sorry I was off in another world there.
You were.
I was reading this SMS. We've got an SMS in from Ohio in the US, I assume that is.
Oh, yes.
Lisa, Mike, Chris and Quinna are saying they just wanted to say hello and they're very interesting topics.
Oh, fantastic. I used to have a shirt that had Ohio on it.
Did you
remember those ones? The mesh ones? The rugby ones?
No.
Gridiron. Is it gridiron?
I don't know. Whatever's
over
there.
Look, if you'd like to wave a magic wand, what would be the first thing you would fix to help make the community safe?
Because
Scott?
It is Community Safety Month, isn't it?
Yes,
October
it is.
October is Community Safety Month. Today is the first day. That's why we're doing this live broadcast from the Victoria Police Centre. What I would do is I would have music play.
Let's have a look at our guests here. They're going to do a live performance for us. But before we do that, we've got one that's from Code One. The other's from the show band. They are Rick Vale and Elise Beattie. Welcome to Joy 94.9.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
When I think of police, I don't really think of bands. How many police bands are there in Vic Police?
Well, there's three altogether. There's the show band, Code One, the rock band, and a pipe band.
That's four.
That's three.
Is it? Oh, I can't count then.
The pipe band are the ones that wear
the kilts.
The kilts.
And they've been with us at Pride March for the last couple of years. They've led our contingent down at Fitzroy Street there in St Kilda.
Yep.
And what's Code One?
Code One is a five-piece rock band. We do a lot of the contemporary music that you hear on the radio. One way of getting through to the younger kids at the schools.
I have to say it works really well. Rick and I know each other from way back, from many, many, many years ago. We won't say quite how long because we might age ourselves a little bit too much. But back when I used to work in the police schools program, Code One used to come along and perform at Moorabbin Town Hall for us.
That's right. Yep.
And I think, Elise, in those days, you were actually with Code One.
Yeah, I jumped across to the show band about 5 years ago.
Tell us about the show band. What's the show band?
Well, the show band, at the moment, there's 22 of us. So
it's just a little band.
Oh, yeah. We need a bus to get around. It's a huge band, and we do everything from top 40 to, like, this month is also seniors month, so we're celebrating lots of senior citizens gigs.
Oh,
so,
fantastic.
We'll be doing lots of the gigs for the oldies.
Now, people would have seen the show band a couple of times and Code One at the beginning of Pride March a few years ago.
Yep.
So show band was there for a couple of years and then Code One was there for the big storm year.
You got blown away
right at the start. Just before the Pride March started, you guys were performing and the big storm came in off the bay. I remember it well.
They probably organise that. A lot of bands blow the audience away.
Yes.
Fantastic. I'm a little bit confused, though. What role does the police band have in with police?
Well, it's all about proactive, positive engagement with the community. And it's a public relations thing, and we want to break down the barriers between police and communities and try to change any of those preconceived negative ideas or experiences people might have had with police. Because essentially, you know, we are here to help the community, so it's good if we make friends with them. And hey, what a better way than with music, because it talks to people of all ages.
So how does it work? Do you have to still go through your cadetship and become a police officer and then you choose to join the band, or can you already be in a band and then...
It's a little bit different. You have to, first of all, wait for a position to come up, and basically there's such great jobs that there's only a vacancy if someone retires. So, yeah, there's not often an opening, but initially you have a couple of auditions, and if you get through that process, then you have to satisfy all the same entrance requirements for Victoria Police that all the other recruits have to go through. So you have interviews, medical, physical, all those sorts of things. But the most important part for the band is, of course, your audition.
So whether you can sing or play an instrument. So if there was a vacancy within the show band, it'd be around a specific instrument, I would imagine, as well.
Yes.
So it's going to be a very narrow field of people to choose from.
Well, we put out the word into, you know, the music industry. Mm-hmm. The word travels pretty fast. So you get some good auditionees coming in, because really there's not that many great jobs for musicians, and we're very lucky to have one of those positions.
Do you charge for your services?
No, it's a free community service, but you do have to fit a certain criteria. So most of the community groups that we might perform for to raise money for their events, they're all registered for fundraising.
Yep.
They're official, so.
You're going to be singing a song to us today. Scotty's been hiding it from me all week, all month actually. What are we going to be hearing from you today?
A song by a band called Bachelor Girl.
A wonderful Australian band.
Wonderful Australian
great
band.
Friends of ours.
Yes, we know them quite well.
Hi, James and Tanya. Well, she's in Ibiza this week, so...
She could be listening online.
She said that she would, yes.
Excellent.
Here we are. We do have Rick from Code One and Elise from the show band. It's Buses and Trains with Bachelor Girl right here on Joy 94.9.
Hey, Mom, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you teach me a thing or two? You just let me go out into the world. You never thought to share what you knew. So I walked on the rebus. I got hit by a train. Keep falling in love, which is kind of the same. I've sunk and at sea, crashed my car, gone insane. And it felt so good, I wanna do it again. Oh, hey mom, why didn't you warn me? Cause about boys are something that should have no home. They're like chocolate cake, like cigarettes. I know they're bad for me, but I just can't leave them alone. So I walk under a bus. I got hit by a train. Keep falling in love. Oh, it's kind of the same. I've sunk at sea, crashed my car, gone insane. And it felt so good, I wanna do it again. I walk under a bus, I got hit by a train. And it felt so good, I wanna do it again. I wanna do it.
Oh, it felt so good.
Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, mom, since we're talking, what was it like when you were young? Has the world changed, or is it still the same? A man could kill and still be the sweetest part. I walk under a bus, I got hit by a train. Keep falling in love, which is kind of the same. I've sunk out at sea, crashed my car, gone insane. And it felt so good, I want to do it again. Bus, hit by a train, keep falling in love. It's kind of the same. I've sunk out at sea, crashed my car, gone insane.
And it felt so good, I want to do it again.
Under a bus, I got hit by a train. And it felt so good, I want to do it again.
Thank you, thank you.
Love every day with Joy.
Yes, loving this day here down at the police centre. Joining us again is Rick Fallet and Elise Beattie from Code One and Showband. That song, is that a regular song or is that one you just did for today?
We've done it quite a few times.
Yeah, over the years we've done it a few times.
When we were in Code One together, we used to do it a lot. But it's one of those ones that just people just love it.
How do people go about booking your services?
It's all about the internet. If you Google Victoria Police Bands and you can click on Code One, Show Band, Pipe Band, there is a form, a booking form, and you just put your details in and click it and it goes straight to our bosses and they'll let you know.
Oh, so if your boss doesn't like me, that's it. Too bad.
I'm sure
although
I'd
your
like
boss
you.
Does like me, actually. I had him here earlier.
Oh, did great. You?
Yeah, him and I got on really well.
That's the big boss. That's Simon. There's a few other bosses underneath that.
Well, I don't need anyone else. I've got Simon now. It's fine. What would be one of your best gigs you've done?
Rick and I were talking about this on the way in, and we both agreed many, many years ago, we did a gig with the Wiggles.
Okay.
And
did you get to do all the hand gestures? And
well, we were singing Celebration with the Wiggles, and just picture these, 90,000 screaming children and their parents right in front of you, 40-degree day, and we're up there with the Wiggles. It was pretty awesome.
Now, they're pretty professional sort of musicians as well, aren't they? Because you guys are very professional. I've seen you play on a number of occasions. Was there a bit of sort of, you know, that artistic rivalry happening up on stage?
No, we were all starstruck. Oh, my God, I met Dorothy.
Do you wear your uniforms when you're always performing?
Yes, yeah. Always, yep.
So what have you got coming up in the way of public gigs?
if you go on to our website, there's a calendar of events and times, and there's some phone numbers there for if you want to get any extra information, or give us a ring at the band centre.
So they just need to go to the police website and then type in bands?
You can certainly go from the police website, police.vic.gov.au, and there's a little section.
/bands.
There you go, /bands.
Or just Google Victoria Police Bands.
Yeah.
Not sure whether you know this question, but how does the bands pay for themselves? I mean, because it obviously costs money. So is that just in the whole budget, or do you have to work to pay for yourself back?
We're within the Victoria Police budget, under the big umbrella.
All this singing, any recording going on, any CDs?
Yes, we have a multitude of CDs, and they're available from the website also. So if you, there's all different kinds of music available from the police bands. And you can also become a friend of the police bands on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you, and email us and say hi, and we'll write back.
Can we do requests?
Absolutely.
There you go, Scotty. I can get him to do my intro.
You might have to pay for that one.
Oh.
That sounds like a professional sort of arrangement rather than just a mateship sort of thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Damn. All right.
You can always speak to Simon.
I was going to leave that for later. But before I let you go, how exciting is it to be in the police band and Code One? I mean, come on. Look at you guys.
It's the best job in the world. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got friends that, you know, they've been famous pop stars or musical theatre stars or opera singers, and they all say to me, you've got the best job, you get to sing every day. Because they have lots of downtime when they don't make any money, you see.
That's right, so you're getting paid regardless. Rig Valet and Elise Beattie, thank you so much for joining us here on Community Safety Month.
It is a pleasure. Thank you very much for having us.
You're currently on Joy 94.9. Paul Anthony with you on the conch outside, inside the Victoria Media Centre for Community Safety Month. Joining me in the presidential suite at the Victoria Police, we do have Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer Scott Davis, Gabby Tayak, and also from the Anti-Violence Project, we have Greg Adkins.
Thanks, Paul. And Paul, what's been your highlight for so far today on this fabulous broadcast?
I love the cake they've brought in.
Have you
tasted it?
Well, I'm still grooving from that wonderful performance.
That was great, wasn't it?
Great song. Love that song.
It was fantastic.
Elise is a wonderful singer.
Do you know, for me, though, it's Simon Overland. A little bit before Paul, we had Simon Overland sitting in. I'm actually sitting in his seat.
You
wow,
are?
I'm so privileged.
Did you know you've got the same haircut as
we have, I know, but different way, Josh. However, that for me was a highlight. It's about that big cultural shift in Victoria Police and how they're embracing diverse communities, not just sexual diversity, ethno-specific diversity, and there's a real partnership happening out there. And you feel it coming off the man, that he's so genuine and engaging our community.
I've seen him present a number of times at community functions, and you're right. It's not something that's put on. It's just something that comes natural to him, and it's very, very genuine about his need to ensure that the community are part of the whole safety responsibility stuff.
Scotty, we are asking, if you could wave a magic wand, what would be the first thing you would fix to help make the community safe? Elise told us one before she went.
She did. Her big one was about mobile phones and cars. She would stop people from driving when they're using their mobile phone. And we've also had Grant, and he says that he would like to stop cars from speeding past trams when the passengers are getting off, which is a really, really dangerous situation. And he says in his email that about a year ago the state government announced that they were going to put some cameras on the trams, and he's asked to ask the police what's happened with that, and I don't know. I really don't know whether it's happened or not.
Well, that's a government thing, isn't it?
But we will attempt to find out. We'll try and answer that in the next couple of weeks.
Okay. Do you know, there's another SMS that hasn't gone in yet, but I'll type it in a moment. And that's about if to improve community safety, I reckon they should re-educate every taxi driver that does U-turns at intersections or cuts off other people.
Actually, one thing about taxi drivers, there's nothing worse than all of a sudden driving along the road, they see a fare and they don't want to lose their fare. So I can understand they want to make money for the day, but they just stop in the middle of nowhere so they can get these passengers
and
in.
What happens is the people that the police bands person was talking about, they're on their mobile phones, go smack up the clacker of the car in front.
That's
so
right.
It's a partnership. It's about being aware of community safety, get the taxis right, don't drive on the road with your phone at your ear.
Now, Chantelle's also sent us a message in. Hello, Chantelle. And she's just saying what a great job that we're doing. So thank you very much for that, Chantelle.
Oh, thanks.
And Robert has also sent a message in. And he would like to make it easier for people who are homeless to obtain intervention orders.
Very
and I
good.
Would have to agree with that.
Is it hard for them to have...
Look, all government businesses are really hard because they rely so much on you having a fixed place of abode.
However, the changes last year mean that local police have much more powers to help you out with intervention orders.
That's right.
So get down and communicate with local police station if you have a problem, if you're homeless and you're listening to this on your transistor radio.
Let's have a look who we've had a chat with. Peter Sprott, who's the Executive Director of Crime Stoppers Victoria. We had Chief Commissioner Simon Overland in, Senior Sergeant Tim Hardiman from the Community Safety Month, and we also had leading Senior Constable Craig McDonald. President of Joy was in. Also, we had
Rick and Elise from the band.
Rick and Elise from the band.
I think Stephen Dunn is actually racing out there now to get his particular non-corruptible screw to put on his number plate.
Yes.
Know?
Does he have a special number plate?
He has a special car.
Yes.
President of Joy gets a special car.
And also, we had Joe Baird from Crime Stopper. Still to come, though.
We've got Vince Fontana, who's in from the City of Darebin.
He's going to be talking to us next. We've got Senior Sergeant Dennis Tocock, who will be talking about the weapons amnesty in October. And we've got Sergeant Artie LaVos, who's doing bike awareness, and Mark Stokes from Kids Safe Victoria,
right.
Still to come.
Yep.
My God, how many hours are we going for? Ruth from the Mental Illness Fellowship, having a chat to her, and Gemma DeMarco from also the Coming Out Safety, and the Drag School Update with Ray Afonso, Micah Scott from Minus 18, and a whole heap of other stuff to talk about.
I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be fantastic, Micah and his team.
It is good. You're on Joy 94.9, coming live from the Victoria Police Centre.
You want choice? You've got it. Joy.
Wherever we live, work and play, safety affects all parts of our lives.
Community safety is everyone's responsibility, and there are things we can do to make our homes, workplaces, streets, neighbourhoods and communities safer.
To find out what safety activities are happening in your neighbourhood, visit communitysafetymonth.com.au.
Joy 94.9, the Victoria Police Glows and the Anti-Violence Project, working together to help make our community safe.
Gay and lesbian radio for the world at joy.org.au.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.